What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Get ready, buckle your chin straps, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bumpy ride, huh, Joe? Nice, yes. Just recently in the news, now we got to hear that Jair Alexander is released. It's another post-June release, so it's beneficial for the Packers here too. And a guy that's, like, when he's on the field, like, he's an elite talent. You know, Jair Alexander, you can't be beat. But just as of late, the last couple seasons, I think I want to say since 2022, he's only played like 14 games or something. I know last year was only seven. So he's got the injury bug. And so now the time is coming. He's still 28, so he still, I think, has a lot left in the tank and still has something to prove. But I think he wanted to change the scenery as well, and now the Packers had allowed that as well. And I think he can contribute to a bunch of different teams out there, Joe.
Yeah, it makes you think, though, too, because this isn't the first time, you know, Jair Alexander has had a little bit of a, let's just say, not a smooth relationship with the Green Bay Packers. It's probably been like a couple years going where there was rumors around him about possibly being traded and maybe they move on from him and all these type of conversations, and it never happened. Well, now we're at the point where Packers finally decided, like, okay, we're not going to get anything in trade compensation. Let's just get rid of him now. Like, it's time to release him. Let him go, and what it is what it is, right? So it makes you also wonder that how the injury bug with him, was it fabricated at all, like towards the end of his tenure with Green Bay? Like, this is like his kind of stance, in a sense, where, like, I'm just going to play like I'm injured and take some time off, and then maybe they'll get rid of me. So makes you wonder about that too, because we've seen some players, you know, fake the injuries or at least complain about it to where they don't have to play or practice. So Alexander is going to be an intriguing prospect out there in the free agency market for sure, because the guy, like you said, is only 28 years old. He's still in his prime technically. Mm-hmm. And what's to say that now he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, because there has been some negativity surrounding him and some talk about him, about how he can be toxic in the locker room. And he's got a bad attitude with the front office and the organization. Maybe he wants to prove to everybody, like, hey, listen, I'm still that dog. I still have that dog mentality. And I want to prove to everybody, whatever the new team is, that I'm going to be a great starter for them and I'm going to be on the field.
Right, absolutely. And we have a list of teams out there. I know a bunch have already kind of surfaced too as well. I'm sure a lot of these are going to be the same. Right off the bat, you know, again, I think the Dolphins would be a good fit here for them. And they, God only knows, they still need help on defense on that side of the ball. But then along with the thing with Jalen Ramsey wanting out and being disgruntled and things like that, I feel like whether they can't work it out with them and move on with him, but it would be better suited that if they can work out a deal, say, hey, listen, at least we'll pay you here to keep you here. If they're able to get Jair Alexander also to add into that, so now you've got those guys in the backfield together, I think that helps on the defensive side. Even if, again, you know, this guy may be injury prone. I mean, when he's on there, like I said, he's great. He's not asked to do a whole lot. I think, and still with the situation where he is now, he's not going to, he can't really ask a lot of money to be signed either as well. So I think that kind of opens the doors to some other teams too in signing, not exactly teams with a lot of cap space.
And that's the thing too. I took a look at like the cap space, you know, and to see where teams lie. Well, basically the top, let's say 25 teams can all afford him. So it's like there is a wide net in terms of financial ability where a lot of teams could sign him. But then when you look at and you break it down by roster, think about the draft picks that have been taken recently too, where there were high-end corners being taken, and those guys are going to be penciled in to start or at least be competing to start at those positions. So it narrows down the playing field quite a bit after you kind of evaluate the rosters and stuff. So to where, like, right now as we stand, there's only a few teams that I think would be really serious and maybe entertaining the idea of bringing along Jair Alexander to be that kind of a mentor, that veteran guy. And honestly, roll the dice and see if he can stay healthy, because when he does, he's one of the best out there. Mm-hmm. And there's of a disagreement on that. This guy can literally shut down wide receivers by himself. Live out there on the island, as so to speak. So he's capable. He definitely can do it. The big question mark is, can he stay healthy? So if a team is willing to risk it and sign him to a deal, it's not going to be super cheap either. You're signing a starting caliber corner, but there is that risk factor where you have to kind of decide for yourself just how much money are you willing to kind of put up and risk to add a player of his quality. So I think it's going to start off in the $10 million a year range. I mean, and it's going to be for like mm-hmm. a three-year deal somewhere in that neighborhood. And that'll be the start of the conversation to whatever teams do pursue him. But again, there's not a lot of – I mean, everybody can always need corners. Like, it's not like something like, you know, oh, you know, it like pass rushers. Like, you know, you can never have enough pass rushers. But with corners, it's another needy type of position where, like, you might think you might be good, but nine times out of ten, you might just have a guy that you kind of like out there who's starting for you, not the greatest. Maybe you bring in a guy like J.R. Alexander. So it's going to be interesting. The Dolphins do make sense. They got a guy by the name of Cam Smith. I know another young corner, but right now he's going to be duking it out for a starting job. You know, mm-hmm. brought up Ramsey, which is intriguing because I don't think Ramsey's going to be there. I think one way or another, the Dolphins are going to move on from him, whether it be trade or they might swallow that hard pill and just say, you know what, we're just going to cut bait and get rid of you that way. So that relationship has deteriorated, to say the least. So it would be interesting to see Jair kind of end up in Miami if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I'd say the Dolphins now. For me, again, next one I think is another, I think, intriguing spot to where you're even saying we're talking cap space, but then also no real solid other guys on the other end. Like the 49ers, they have Lenore on the one side, again, which is in the nickel, at least right there, is solid corner there. But besides that, they did bring in Trey Brown from Seattle, and they have Renardo Green in the other spot. But so mm-hmm. some other guys aren't exactly solid starters right now that I think if you bring in Jair Alexander again, you've got enough money to pay him, you know, what he could do, but still you're probably going to get him cheaper than you would expect. A spot where he would fit on this defense still, to where, again, not ask a whole lot, but, you know, be there, you know, a starter and have other talent there as well. And a team that's trying to get back to, you know, the playoffs and winning football, unlike last year, which was a disaster altogether.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Robert Saleh is back in the mix at D coordinator, so that's got to be exciting for 49er fans out there, you know, getting their, mm-hmm. their old boy back, and he's going to kind of refocus this defense, get it back on track. Excuse me. Part of the mm-hmm. issues that the Niners suffered last year was because of the lack of production up front with the front four. It was basically, you know, Nick Bosa, and that was it. Nobody was really helping him out. And you fast forward to now where they did a considerable effort kind of rebuilding and you kind of talent to that side of the football. And corner was no different, too. Like you mentioned, you know, Ricardo Green, who actually played pretty darn well as a rookie last year for a major role starting position this year. Also, I have a lot of confidence in Robert Saleh and what he can do with this defense. You look at Trey Brown, like you brought up from Seattle, not a very well-known name, but a guy who is very solid. I think they have confidence in him to be that next starter for the 49ers. So I don't think there's great need with San Francisco. I think, I mean, obviously if they wanted to bring in and kind of bolster up that secondary. They could do that with Jair Alexander. It does make sense if they wanted to. They could swing it. And it actually might make sense because they're in a good spot to where they could take a risk on Jair and kind of add him to this group, see how he pans out, see if he stays healthy. Does he earn that starting job or does he get outplayed? So it could go both ways. Whoever does sign him, where they might bring him in and let's just say he stays healthy, but lose it and doesn't get the job. It just mm-hmm. isn't the same anymore too. So, it's definitely a risk to say the least, but the Niners, it makes a little sense for the Niners to kind of mm-hmm. go after, but I don't think it's going to be a major need to where you might see them go like all chips to the center of the table and they're pushing hard for Jair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So what about a team for you? What do you think? Who's out there?
Honestly, my Raiders is definitely one of those teams that are in desperate need of adding more talent in the secondary, a team where they don't really, they have guys that last year, Jaquarian Bennett was a rookie, played pretty well, got injured last year, actually, and missed most, if not all, the season. 2 years ago, I'm talking about his rookie year, played pretty good for a rookie. Not the greatest, but, he showed some promise. Second year last year, ends up getting injured. Everybody was really hoping that he could kind of blow up on the scene and failed to do so due to injury. Comes back this year, coming back from an injury, obviously. And even though he's coming back and the praise is high and they're hoping that he can take the next step forward, there's not a whole lot after him. You look at Darian Porter, who they drafted this year, a guy who's like 6'3", gigantic, wiry type of frame of a corner, a guy that Pete Carroll now as the head coach kind of envisions as his new age, Richard Sherman, and hoping that he could pan out to be like Richard Sherman. But again, there's a lot of hope there. You got a guy coming back from injury. You got a guy you just drafted, you're hoping can pan out. But after that, they have other guys that have not succeeded, on other teams. And they brought them in and hoping that they can kind of unlock some potential that has been lost somewhere. So no real proven corners yet. A lot of guys that are maybes and ifs and all that. So that's one team to me that could really kind of dive in to get going after Jair Alexander, which make a lot. And like you mentioned before, there's a lot of teams that still have the financials to do it. It's just, is it worth the risk?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, if you do, yeah, if you have somebody to where you're like, hey, you have teams now that grab somebody in free agency or whatever. Like, hey, this guy's out there. He's worth a shot. He's cheap. We'll see what happens. We can plug him in. We're good. That kind of fixes, this little leak, that we have right now. Plugs it right now. But now when a guy like this of this caliber comes out, that's what I mean. You're already just risking very little on somebody like that. But now if you can add potential somebody that at his best, he is one of the best, mm-hmm. that changes things.
That changes
your perspective altogether because now he is your guy, we'll say most likely. And then if you had to, if the unlikely thing happens, if he happens to get injured, you have this other guy that you had already brought in that was going to be a stopgap type of person, at least for now, too.
Right.
So you, it's a win-win altogether. Mm-hmm. One of those teams for me, again, seems to me like a team, again, he also probably wants to go to a place that's a good fit, but that's also a winner. Yeah. And I think one of those teams is probably the Vikings. The Vikings, again, they're all in. It's amazing when I was hearing stories about even during voluntary OTAs, like the whole team's showing up. And, veterans, you're talking about stars. Everybody's showing up to try and get better, and they're making a run. Even though, I talked about it last week with J.J. McCarthy, getting kind of the keys to the Ferrari and, like, here you go with a team that's built to win. But they're all buying in. And I think if you get a guy like Jair Alexander for the Vikings, to where, again, they brought in Isaiah Rogers from Philly, and they also have Mekhi Blackman there. Okay guys, but you put him there with Byron Murphy and things, and then Harrison Smith, who's still playing at a good level, And I think then you've got a really good dangerous backfield on top of that to match with the front line that you guys have had. You know, Andrew Van Ginkle too, the guy, the pick six master. So I think that would be a good fit, and I think you're playoff bound. And you get to play the Packers twice, so
let's
how about that?
Pump the brakes a little bit on the Vikings being automatically back into the playoffs. They definitely have a very good team, but now there's a new quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, and it's basically his rookie year. I got to say, like, we can't really – give him the crown already and say like he's gonna rock that division up and kind of stats and points and all that and just like Sam Darnold was never there type of deal. So he's got a lot to prove mm-hmm. still, and we still don't know yet. Can he handle the NFL speed of the game? Can he handle the game itself in game situations and all of that? So I don't know how good the Vikings are going to be. I know they have a really good roster, but I don't know what the direction of that young quarterback is going to have them when we kick off in week one. You know, are they really a winning team? That's going to be a little shaky. For the fact that Jair Alexander at 28 years old, does he want to go to a winning team? Of course. I mean, anybody would that is getting closer to the end of their mm-hmm. career. Would like to be at least on a competitive team, if not a contending team. It just might not be in the cards for Jair to kind of hop on a team like that, because when you look at a lot of these winning caliber teams, the need for corner is not as great as it used to be for some of these guys. They've done a great job in free agents, or whether it be through the draft, drafting new prospects that are going to kind of take over those roles. So it seems like his opportunities, his landing spots may be thinner than initially thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can see that too, because, again, when you look at these different situations, you're like, well, that would fit. You know, that would fit. And then you look at money and then on top of that too. And we've also discussed the fact that sometimes with some of these teams with, you know, cap space, doesn't even matter because they figure out a way to make it work.
Right.
I know a lot of people have connected even the Falcons because his old DC is there in Witt, that maybe he wants to go back there. And then the Falcons with Michael Penix Jr., you know, maybe they're onto something that he already fits into that defense because he knows what's up there. I mean, that's a potential. I've also thought about even – look at the Cowboys with how injury riddled they are on defense here in the corner position. So why not add another one that, again, when he's there at his best, I mean, if you get Deron Bland healthy and then this guy too, and like, oh my gosh, I mean, that'd be scary. But again, are you just going to have them all in a rotation then? And they're not on the field at the same time.
No.
So,
right.
You know, just because they're not healthy at the same time. That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Because it was everything.
Is you're not going to rotate these starting corners. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you're
it
not.
Doesn't make
no.
any sense.
I'm just saying because they wouldn't be on the field at the same time because of getting injured.
But that's the thing too, is they're not, they've already paid a lot of money to Trayvon Diggs, who mind you is still not ready to practice. And they've already unloaded a lot of money to him. Deron Bland's going to command an awful lot of money next year, you know, if they want to keep him there. So it might not be, the move makes sense. I mean, going to the Cowboys,
it does
make sense. Oh. And this is kind of like almost like a layup for Jerry Jones. Like, he loves making these big splash-type moves, signings and all that, a lot of hype.
Yeah.
You know, that just think about the Cowboys fans if this was to happen. Oh, my God, Cowboys are going to what?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl again?
Yeah, Super Bowl.
I mean, so I think
this is their
it
year
makes
now again. Yeah.
sense. The move does because of injuries, because of the uncertainty with Trayvon Diggs coming back. But there's a lot of money put into Diggs, and then future money is going to be going into Deron Bland because I have a hard time believing they're going to let him just kind of walk out the room. So as much as it makes sense, maybe the Cowboys kind of halt and don't make this move. I wouldn't be surprised if they still do it, but I'm just saying Like, do they want to let go a Deron Bland who's still young in his prime, younger than Jair, and give him the money rather than you're going to – if you make that decision, you're making the decision that Deron Bland's going to walk. Like, if you were to sign Jair next year, you know what I mean, for this year. So that would be the thing, and I just don't think that it would make football sense, but – when you live in Jerry's world, sometimes it doesn't have to make sense as long as you don't think about it.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. I mean, that's why it's funny having these conversations about it, because we get debated all the time. Every time we talk about landing spots, most of the time, it never happens. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, these are great. And it never happens to where you think it happens. Then somebody out of the blue, and that's what I mean. It could be a contender. Right. Look at even the Ravens. The Ravens potentially could be a suitor, too, with what they do, you know, on defense and adding more and stuff. But because they like to do splash guys. You know, I get it, but that's what I'm saying. It comes out of left field sometimes.
I get it, but I mean, so have you seen the young, up-and-coming secondary?
Oh, I get it.
That looks scary.
I know.
It looks scary.
I know. I bet. Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of funny. But that's what I mean to you. Like, it looks scary now, and then they add this guy again for some reason. Like, why? I'm like, well, you can never have enough. Let's get more, you know? And that's why I think it's kind of funny when we had these conversations about it. But you got any more teams out there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I got the Giants as one of the potential suitors. I mean, they did a very good job bringing in Paulson Adebo. It's great. Javon Holland to play safety. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But what could make this even better? Is by adding a guy like Jair Alexander, taking over for Deontay Banks, it makes a lot of sense for a guy who struggled last year. And also, what this would also do, too, is this would kind of, you know, it would not just bolster the secondary, but also it would kind of revitalize Deontay Banks. Because now he could have a mentor by Jair Alexander, teaching him the ropes of how to play pro corner, how to play it at a high level, and taking him under his wing. This is where I feel like this would be a huge, huge addition for the Giants, is because they've done a lot of homework. They've done a lot of, they've made a lot of really smart moves defensively and offensively, that now you get a piece like Jair in up in New York, and you're going to have Adebo on one side and Alexander on the other side. But oh, guess what? On the back end, you have Javon Holland and you got Tyler Newbin. I mean, that to me right there is a really, really nice secondary. Mm. Obviously, it does it does come with risk because, like we mentioned before, the injury, you know, is he going to stay healthy? But if he does, man, this secondary went from last year kind of being like Swiss cheese to now kind of being a stud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't think of it really at all, my team at all, but I mean, I'm liking it. I like that. It'd be cool if it does, but who knows? We shall see, right, in the upcoming days here. It is now mandatory OTAs have showed up, right. And a lot of stars haven't showed up. You know, a lot of guys out there. It was funny because some of the guys you expected, right? You know, right. And then some I think kind of are like under the radar, kind of like, huh, like that guy's really not showing up now too. He wants more now. Yeah. I'm like, man. What a time to be doing that and stuff like that. And, you know, so we'll keep following some of those guys out there as we, you know, do the whole holdouts or hold-ins, you know, during training camps and stuff. So we'll follow that closely. But we wanted to bring up another topic, which I think is interesting for the upcoming league year, and that is the fact that there's players on their final contract year, whether even exercise fifth-year option or even just – on their last year of their contract altogether, that kind of have an unsure, you know, destination after this. You know, I mean, not sure what that's going to happen. So maybe they need to play really well to justify their staying there, or they're playing well to move on to another team because their minds already teams have already made up their mind about them. So there's a few different ones out there. One that comes to mind for me is James Cook, at least with Buffalo Bills, again, hasn't been, he's been good. He's had some good spots there too, but the team hasn't really shown that they're really sold on him. And I know head coach had just come out and said, oh, you know, we're going to be talking to him. We're going to make sure that he's here and blah, blah, blah. And he's going to, you know, all this stuff. But James Cook, hasn't been that guy where he's already had like guys underneath him kind of outperform him and shine in front of him when he's kind of been that guy and that starter. And the running game, they're not really strong, you know, to an extent. I know last season, I think, was it last season or season before when him and Josh Allen both had like certain, like 1,000-yard rushing years or something like that, which was big. But the fact that they don't seem like they're sold on him and committed to him and how he hasn't really kind of stepped up to be that true number one guy to kind of stick around and be that, I feel like his future is in the works.
I think James Cook is loved by Buffalo, honestly. I think he's a very, very good running back for them. I don't have any questions about his production. I don't have any questions about that. I mean, the guy is legit. The guy should be re-signed, in my opinion. But with that being said, I will say that James Cook has to temper expectations in terms of money. And that's what this sticking point is between him and Buffalo is, you know, James Cook values himself so much that he wants to be the highest paid running back. And it seems like he's being a little greedy. And unless you've kind of done some things like a Saquon Barkley, like a Nick Chubb in his prime, you know what I mean? Where you kind of solidify your prowess on the gridiron, unless you solidify like, hey, look, everybody considers me one of the best running backs in this league, you don't really have much to stand on. So Cook is valuing himself, overvaluating himself by a long shot. And I think Buffalo is just simply saying, listen, you need to come down with your number and then we can work something out. But until that happens, then we're going to be at a standstill. And for James Cook, I think a deal will get done in the very end. And, you know, in the ninth hour, because we've seen these things happen all the time where whether a player says, I'm going to wait until I get this number or I'm going to hold out or whatever. But in the end, if a team and the player want to stay together, it's going to end up happening more times than not.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, though, too, is like when you start asking for bigger money because what maybe even had, you know, some production as of late, you know, it's like, yeah, that's why I'm always dead set against, hey, the next man up, you got to pay him. It's like, I'm totally dead set against that whole mentality. And we've seen that maybe kind of stifled a little bit with some guys in some contracts. Everybody's worried about the Brock Purdy contract when it came up and things like that.
Nobody will be talking about that a year from now. Everybody's going to be on to the next quarterback that signs a bigger deal than that. So
And
the other thing,
I'm already hearing that some people are talking about Lamar getting another deal.
They're actually discussing it right now. Like it's happening. You know, this month they've been talking. So that's unbelevable. But with James Cook,
like congratulations on not winning the Super Bowl.
With James Cook, though, he's been 3 years into the league, right? His first year, obviously, you're not going to expect him to get 1,000 yards, but you wanted to see what he could do. But he was in a backup role at that point, had 500 yards, you know, rushing. That's nice. Was also involved in the receiving game. But then the big jump was his sophomore year. Sophomore year, he had over 1,100 yards, you know, pretty good. He was involved more in those games. Didn't start all the games, but was definitely playing in all of them. And then this past year is kind of like his kind of breakout year in a sense where highly productive, just barely getting over 1,000 yards, but double digit touchdowns, 16 touchdowns. You know, the receiving game, he was a little bit more involved with it in that too, and especially with yards after the catch and all that. So I see what Cook is thinking. He's like, well, look, I've been more productive every year as I've played for this team. So I want to be paid and held accountable that way. And I get it. It makes sense. Yeah. Do you deserve a raise? Sure. But you're not going to get paid up like the elites. And that's kind of where both sides are kind of at a standstill at this point. And until one of them kind of buckles, we're not going to see anything done. But I think James Cook is that important to this team that I think something will, because I don't think Cook wants to leave. I think this is all, it's all a play, really. Like, he's just kind of playing hardball, but in the end, I feel like both sides will come together.
Yeah. And we shall see. We've got time through the offseason here, the OTAs until the season gets started. So we'll see. We're going to see how these all play out and these holdouts, like you said. So who else on your list now, Joe? Who do you have here on that's on a year contract here that could be on the
– Trey Hendrickson. That's a hot topic name, a guy who has been leading the sack totals this past season and still can't get a contract. I mean, what's going on in Cincinnati? This is a team that we kind of thought, like, okay, the front office is a little bit, you know, underachieved, like, as far as personnel-wise. Like, they don't have as many personnel as other teams do across the league. So it's going to take a little bit longer for this all to come together. We saw Ja'Marr Chase come together, right? And then, boom, right behind that Chase deal, T. Higgins, boom, done, right? So then we're waiting anticipation, like, okay, well, maybe 2 days later, Trey Hendrickson's going to get done, and now everything can be all gravy, right? Like, Cincinnati fans can rejoice, and there's nothing to worry about. But there's a problem. Trey Hendrickson views himself as one of the best, and he should, one of the best pass rushers in this league, and wants to be accommodated that way. He wants to be paid like the others that have been paid. Max Crosby signed the first big deal. Then Myles Garrett signs a mega deal. And now Trey just wants his love. And he's still, to this day, waiting on a contract. He's heard offers from Cincinnati, but they're not anywhere close to the elite pass rushers up there. And geez, I mean, how long does this guy have to wait? Like, he's your best defensive player right now. You can't afford to lose Trey Hendrickson, because even though you've drafted the young rookie Ja'Marr Stewart, and I hope that he turns out to be like Trey or even close to him in productive for Cincinnati. They could definitely use bookend pass rushers, but if you happen to lose the one guy who's been there from, you know, ever since he left New Orleans, has come to Cincinnati and has done nothing but ball the hell out. I mean, what are we doing, Cincinnati? How are we running this team? This is a team that defensively struggled down the stretch. Not their offense. Their defense, you know, screwed them over. So now is not the time to kind of play games with one of your best players on defense and kind of, you know, string the cheese in front of them and say, hey, you want this? You want this? You're going to have to come down in number. Like, it's getting insane to me. At this point, we're past free agency. We're past the draft, where everything is starting to calm down in terms of hype and all that. Like, it's not going to jump back up again until we get to training camp and we start hearing stories out of training camps. But good God, before we get to training camp, could we at least get a Trey Hendrickson signing?
Can I get a hallelujah, Joe?
It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, I think when they brought Trey Hendrickson, they're like, all right, this guy's going to be great pass rusher here, whatever, you know, going to contribute. And then when he gets older, you know, he'll tail off, but then we can kind of move on or whatever, do our thing. And this guy just kept balling, and he's still doing it. And I don't think they expected. They're like, "Oh,
insane.
Crap, he's still good." And now, you know, look at what he's doing. He's excelling. I'm like, now what do we do? You know. And I think that's what it is, because, you know, we've talked about this franchise with kind of tight in the pocket and you know, not willing to spend. And a guy who put the whole defense himself on his back, like you said, he had all the sacks to himself and led the league. So, I mean, not only did he do it for his team, but he led the league on it all, you know. So doing a lot of stuff on his shoulders all by himself.
Think about this. The last two seasons, this dude has had 17 and a half sacks, both seasons. And then in the last 5 years, has had double-digit sacks except for 1 year. This guy's had 13 and a half, 14, had a little dip in 22 with 8. But even 8 sacks is decent. Like, this dude has been so damn productive for Cincinnati. and kind of has been basically the glue on that side of the ball, with them lacking D tackle help, with them lacking, you know, the linebackers going down with injuries and stuff. And now Jermaine Pratt just got released. Their captain of the defense this past week just got released. He's a free agent now.
That's right.
If you're a defense looking for linebacker help, what are you doing? Pick up the phone.
What are you doing?
So, I mean, this team that needs to continue to keep and add more defensive talent, it seems like they're okay with letting Jermaine Pratt go now. And then Trey Hendrickson still hanging out in the wind, just waiting for them to, you know, come down to earth and say, hey, listen, we're sorry we took this long. Here it is. This is the deal. Let's get this thing done and move forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I think it's a sham. It's ridiculous. Get it done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, I would expect that he's going to be there, and we'll see what happens with it.
He's going to play.
But see if he sticks to his plans and see what he does.
Like he's going to hold out, though. Like he's going to hold out the mandatory OTAs that are happening right now. He's also going to hold out training camp if it gets to that point. I don't see this. This has to get resolved. Bottom line.
Yeah, because now it's personal.
And
you know,
Ray has said that. He said it's reached a point now where it's personal because they've come out with a couple of offers to him, and he's just like, dude, this is nothing comparable to what the other guys are getting. The other guys that got new contracts, there's nothing close to it. Are you freaking kidding me? After what I've done for you guys the past 2 years especially, come on, man. You got to be better than that.
Right. So I just looked it up quick. The last sack leader before Trey Hendrickson, who was not the highest paid player but was the sack leader with 19 sacks in 2023, he had a 4-year deal and $112 million. It was T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt was the last guy in 2023 to do it. And then Miles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby all had higher salaries. So it's funny how you're hearing those same names again. Miles Garrett, Max Crosby, and now T.J. Watt even is holding out now, it seems like. So these same dudes all here, but you don't – again, crickets on Trey Hendrickson, meanwhile competing and at a high level.
Exactly.
So that's how long ago it was. So let's see if Trey Hendrickson, you know, will probably put his name on that list now next.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, so what else? That was kind of an obvious one, so what do we got next?
It's got to be T.J. Watt. You just brought him up. I mean, this is 2025, brother. 31 years old. This guy has been dominating the NFL. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, why are these pinnacle elite-type pass rushers,
who,
even if they're at, like, towards the end of their careers, they're still playing like they're mid-20s. It's insane. And these guys have been playing for such low money compared to – obviously the couple of big contracts that just got signed, that now they want their piece of the pie. And Pittsburgh, you got to step up. This guy has been amazing for you guys. He's been a quarterback killer, and you got to feed the beast, man. You just got to freaking get this guy a new deal. Keep him there for another at least 1 to 2 years initially, right? Because he is 31. Let's keep it in, you know, respectability here. Like, he does deserve to get a raise, but at the same time, he's 31 years old. How much longer does he want to play, and how much longer can he play? So maybe you give him a 2. Maybe it's a 3-year deal where the third year ends up being the team option, but pay the man. So keep him there in Pittsburgh because you know you don't want to see him on the other side of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And That's the thing. When you got a guy like this, you got to try and lock him in, Joe. A guy that's been a leader despite other people getting injured and things like that, still getting in the backfield. And it's kind of funny now, like, that we see T.J. Watt out there in this holdout situation, because this just made, I think, again, Cincinnati's day worse on this whole situation, guys. Because now you got this guy out here holding out for some money. So now you're like, oh, crap, now Trey's probably going to see what this guy gets paid too, and whatever, or, you know, wait it out or see where the chips lie. And now what are we potentially shelling out? We should have did this a long time ago. You know what I mean? And it's kind of funny how that all happens. I think the same kind of thing happened around with the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. And you're kind of, they waited and waited, and other guys were getting paid and are like, oh man, this is getting more expensive now for us. And then eventually they folded and made him the highest paid at the time.
Yeah.
Which is funny, which I think on average, I think he's still around there, you know, so it's just crazy. But yeah, again, you see the age, and both these guys are older, but they're still competing. If anything, again, you give them the average per year guaranteed and short, you know, I don't think it's going to be long-term type of contract, just an extension. You're good. Void years at the end, you can walk away. So, I mean, but I think these guys get it done for their teams. It would be crazy if they don't stay where they are.
Another one, Jim.
All right, so what else?
Another one, Jim, is the talk of the town in Atlanta is Kyle Pitts on the out. You know, and honestly, Atlanta is willingly taking trade offers right now. It's like they've already turned the page without really turning it yet. I mean, we still got the 2025 season to go. I haven't heard any kind of real ironclad discussions about, you know, even coming close to an agreeable trade. And when you kind of string out a player like this before the season's approaching us and he doesn't get traded, players tend to feel a certain way about your organization. Can't wait to get out of there. So what are we going to expect from him now? Here's the thing is, if he ends up staying with Atlanta, if I'm him, I'm putting a chip on my shoulder and saying, guess what? I'm going to play the best I've ever played for you guys. And that way my value is going to be so much higher when I go to another team after this year. So they're already curious on trades for him. It seems like they're already have made the decision that they're on the outs with him.
Yeah.
They're trying to cash in on him, you know, with compensation. But here's the thing is, he's still young and in his prime. It's crazy that you're willing to give up on a player like this guy. And I don't think they've used him all that much in their offensive system. I mean, what do you want the guy to do? The guy can't throw the passes to himself by himself. So, I mean, unless you're – and then the times that he does get the ball, he makes some impressive plays. So, either get him involved – or, you know, I hate to say this, but, like, it sucks. They took this guy in the first round for a reason. And this guy was supposed to be a difference maker at the tight end position because traditional tight end. He's built like a giant wide receiver who can move around with that kind of incredible size, move around with ease. Why not? Why aren't you like getting more creative with them instead of just putting them at the tight end position? Why aren't you splitting them out wide? Why aren't you putting in as a slot receiver and really kind of mess with some defenses? So this isn't really kind of fits the contract year type of thing, but this is something that he is going into his contract year, but we're hearing rumblings about him possibly being moved already. Like the team's already made that decision.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
Right, and it's funny because when you see the fifth-year option gets picked up, a lot of times it really means like, hey, we're going
to
pay you this for this year. We're still working out a contract to keep you here, and you know we got now this extra year to figure it out or whatever.
Exactly.
This seems automatically, we even heard in the offseason that they're interested in trading him away, you know, to try and get compensation before.
Yeah.
And so now, even after they pick up the fifth-year option, we're still hearing that, and it's crazy. And, yes, we understand that his first rookie season, he had a 1,000-yard year, and since then, 128 catches and 1,625 yards, just getting 74 targets last year in the offense with Michael Penix Jr., but you're going to have your growing pains a little bit too, and I get him being frustrated because it seems like even – we knew it that first rookie year he was going to get targeted heavily. They needed a weapon, right?
Yeah.
You know, they needed him. They got Kyle Pitts. Like, oh, yeah, there we go. Boom. You know, he's a tight end, but he's more like a receiver. This could be great for him. And boom, he did. He lit it up. Mm-hmm. And then after that, as they tried to grab other talent here, there, or whatnot, they just kind of phased him out of the offense or something. I don't know. Like you said, Joe, it seemed they didn't target him enough. I don't know what it was. And the fact that they're willing to try and trade or let him go to another team that will utilize him that way, and where I think that he will excel, and it's super scary because I've seen a bunch of other teams that have guys that are getting older that he could actually fill their spots. I mean, look at Mark Andrews. Yes, they've got Isaiah Likely and some other guys there at tight end, but imagine if Mark Andrews, you know, they decide that, you know, moving on from him because he's older. They're like, yeah, you've been good for us, but then also you did drop the one easy wide open catch to make us advance in the playoffs. You dickwad, you know, and hey, Kyle Pitts, you're young, you're 25 years old. Fit in that offense, I think, too, as well, the receiving type of tight end. I think it would be outstanding, you know. So for Atlanta to be willing to do this, it's another head scratcher, you know, on their end.
Barry Fontenot, what the hell are you thinking in Atlanta? We don't know.
That's another thing, too, is because I read something, too, about Fontenot is like one of the only, I think, out of maybe four, I have to look at my notes again, but one of only four guys or something, the GMs, to still have their job after having like a losing record as the GM. So he's got to be, the clock's got to be ticking on him as well after
For
this.
Sure. And part of that too is finding a quarterback. So like he's been a losing GM for quite some time, but at the same time, they haven't had that answer at quarterback. They thought Kirk Cousins was going to be that guy. That's why they made that move and brought him in. Mm-hmm. But then after drafting Michael Penix Jr., you know, things are starting to look good in Atlanta. You know, there's a lot of hype around, you know, what they did. And that was a move that was scrutinized by us, by other media outlets. But it seems like it's panning out, right? You know, so now it looks like Michael Penix is going to take over that role. We're going to finally get to see what he can do as a quarterback. And it looks like they're moving on from Kirk, but without moving on from him, which is very interesting. So this Atlanta Falcons team has a lot of question marks going into this year. And Kyle Pitts, it just happens to be one of them. That is a little bit of head scratching. Like you said, I don't understand the reason why they want to move on from him, but apparently they don't want to pay him is what all I could surmise is he's on the last year of his deal. They don't want to pay him even remotely, you know, as much as some of the market does show for tight ends. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. And they're looking to try to get out from underneath that at all costs, apparently.
Definitely. I'll take him.
I'll put him in the slot as a wide receiver, for God's sake. I'll take him.
Like, I mean, I'm looking at it too, even as a Giants fan, like, we'll take him, you know. I mean, again, when was the last time we had a good tight end, you know? I mean, that was, you know, a good receiver, you know? Yeah. You know, that's tough, and then we could use it. I think, again, that kind of spreads out that offense a bit, and then now you've got something to work with.
So, Jim.
A lot of different options.
Jim, we got to go back to the Cowboys, bro. We got to go back. We kind of skipped over. We talked a little bit about Deron Bland.
Yeah.
He's another one on his contract year. Mm-hmm. And the guy that they just freaking traded for from Pittsburgh, George Pickens. He's on a contract here. What the frick are the Cowboys going to do? Did they even think about what the, you know, repercussions was of getting these guys that, you know, one, you have a guy like Deron Bland on the last year. Are you going to be able to afford him? You got George Pickens, who you just gave up compensation for, you know, and 26, a third round pick and a 27 fifth round pick. That's not compensation. You can kind of just wink and say, it's nothing. That's some pretty sturdy compensation. So you better have a plan to re-sign Pickens as well. And this is – and we also got to talk about Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons been waiting for a contract. You know, he's not at the – he's not in his contract year, but he wants his pay.
He's looking for – yeah, he does.
A lot of good in Dallas, and he deserves to get a raise and be happy. But with all that coming to a head, we've talked about this, you know, 3-4 years ago about Dallas, about how their financial constraints is going to catch up with them. You know, all this kind of throwing money here, giving Dak Prescott the contract that he got. And it's like they spread it out so thin that now there's not a whole lot of money left over to give to all these other players that you have that you want to keep. They're all going to command a lot of money. So all those players and Pickens and Deron Bland, I don't know what the Cowboys are thinking for next year unless somehow they can pull off some miraculous financial, you know, bookkeeping. It's going to be tough to keep all these guys.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. It's and that's the thing with Dallas is like that the fact that they haven't won anything with – they do draft talent. They do get guys there. That, and then that when it's time to pay them again, they can't keep them all. Yep. You know, that's what's sad, you know, for them on their end. Because they do get these guys there. They just can't, you know, win a Super Bowl out of it all and have something to show for it. And then you're kind of willing. You're like, all right, you know, we can't afford a guy, whatever. We'll move on. We'll get another guy and we'll keep winning. But they haven't had that luxury. And, you know, as far as America's team, they're like the epitome of America's team just because they've got terrible credit, Joe. They keep
defaulting on their loans. They're doing.
Yeah, they keep defaulting on their loans. They keep, you know, piling on, getting things that they really don't need, you know, and there it is. And wait for it. I'll pay for it later. It's the American dream. You know, that's what everyone, you know, and so now here it's come. You know, the IRS is now coming for the payment, and, you know, they're like, oh, man, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, I got – so that's the only – the comparison I have now for them and America's team is, like, they're just like that. That's what Americans are doing. So it is. They really have to restructure some of these guys. Try and – I think if Dak Prescott is any kind of leader and any kind of guy, he's restructuring to try and get his dudes there. You know what I mean? To keep things there, to keep – you know, the ship afloat to be a contender.
100%.
If you're any stand-up type of dude, we've seen other dudes do it. We've seen Patrick Mahomes even do it. We've seen, even with the Chiefs again, Kelce has redone his contract and stuff to try and help keep guys on the team to win.
Yeah.
That's what you do to win.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is where we've talked about the Cowboys to where not only the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, and the epitome of the Cowboys and what it is, it's bigger than the football. Mm-hmm. Now the players have bought into that whole situation to where like, pay me. I really don't care. I'm a Cowboy. Woo. Okay. You know, you might be one of the greatest Cowboys that ever played, but what does it mean if you ain't got the chip? You ain't got the ring, man. Because especially that's what people are talking about right now. They talk about legacy, right? Where's the legacy in that? You're like, all right, Dak Prescott. Right now your label is highest paid and wait, not worth it. Second of all, you know, you can win during the season, got great season numbers, but your playoff, you suck, and you're out. One and done. You know what I mean?
That's been their mantra for what? How long has it been?
Right.
It's been a really long time.
It comes down to him. He's got to come out and say, he's got to come to the table, hey, listen, let's restructure something I got here. Let's free up some more money and get these because I want these guys here. We've got to get it done.
Exactly. I mean, this is.
That's the only way.
And, you know, it's also, you know, poor management of money and not forecasting well enough to be able to keep the guys that you want to in the near future. Like, I thought for sure that the Cowboys last year were going to visit the Deron Bland contract and say, hey, listen, we want to lock you up a year ahead of time, which would have been smart. And maybe you could have came away with something that works for both parties. But now you're really getting down to the nitty gritty of it at the end of 2025 when Deron Bland's going to be due to be a free agent, George Pickens is going to be due to be a free agent. Again, a guy you just traded for, and I haven't heard anything about them trying to get a deal done. All I've heard is that George Pickens is willing to play under his current contract his final year. So what are you guys going to do when you have Micah Parsons, who's basically screaming in your ear saying, hey, I want a new deal by the end of this year. You know, I want to get it done. I want job security. And that's the other thing too, for some of these players, job security is a real thing. They really do want that guaranteed money. So that way, in case something was to go crazy or happen, whether it be injury or missed time, they still know that they have that guarantee that, you know, that guaranteed money to where, like, okay, I'm secure. They're not going to get rid of me. You know what I mean? Like, but we all know they're not going to get rid of Micah Parsons. We all know that those guys are important to them.
Right.
So, but it's just that thing of, like, knowing that where home is, basically. Like, is Dallas really, do they really love me? Do they really want me to stay here or not? So, just like any other team, they all got to jump through financial circles. They all got to figure it out in the very end in signing these guys. Cincinnati, I gotta say again, wake the hell up, man. You guys gotta get your shit together. You gotta sign Trey Hendrickson. It just doesn't make sense up to this point. And I know that they've been trying to work on it, but you gotta get serious about this now. Get this guy into camp.
Yep.
And then let's see what you guys can do for the season. But that's all the players that I have on my mind, with their final contract years. And there's others, but there might not be the biggest name. So you might be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah. So then I'll just ask a few different ones then for you too. What about Travis Etienne here with Jacksonville?
I'm out on him. I mean, honestly,
right?
The guy just continues to get hurt. We talk about J.R. Alexander, but Travis Etienne is like right behind him, but in a different position. The guy just constantly gets hurt, isn't on the field enough. And we've seen spurts in Jacksonville where like, oh, man, this guy had over 1,000 yards. And then, oh, man, this guy's so dynamic with the ball in his hands in the open field. But then all of a sudden he goes down with an injury and misses the rest of the season. It's like, oh, well, that was good while it lasted. Is he going to come back? Yep. Comes back next year to get hurt early again, miss the whole season. So Jaguar fans are definitely frustrated with the guy. I know the organization. Obviously, when you see talent on your roster, you want them to stay healthy, of course. But this dude just can't seem, no matter what he does, it's not working for him to stay healthy at this level of football. So if I'm Jacksonville, I'm definitely out on Travis Etienne. I'd rather go into the draft and draft another guy, another young guy, up and coming guy, and see what we can do from there. But it's time to kind of change the tires, so to speak.
Yeah, I thought so too. And Ken, that's why I kind of looked at it as more like, yeah, he's out there. He's on his last year deal, and I think he's one of those guys that's going to find his way in a different home, you know. And even
who knows, maybe he'll sign with the Chargers in free agency because they love running backs.
Yeah. They do, right? And you never know. One other guy I thought even too, which I think could be interesting what happens with his career after this year, is Matt Milano. A guy who's been a really big dude for the Buffalo Bills, you know, in the run game, you know, whatever. He's always there with one of their key tacklers. But as of late too, just injury plagued, man. Just injury prone nonstop. He's 31 years old. He's on the last year of his deal. So, you know, you think he just plays out this year and then what, finds another team in free agency, you know, I mean, moves on, like, because that's the thing with this guy. Like I said, if he ends up getting injured again, I mean, you got to think that his career is towards, like, probably done after this, right?
And that would be the indicator, too. Like, the guy's, you know, early 30s. He basically just came back from a major injury. He was out for a crazy amount of time and comes back, was a little rusty when he first came back last year. You could see it on the football field, but he is a team captain. He's loved by the fans. He's a great leader, and that's what the Buffalo Bills love about the guy. They hope that he can get anywhere close to where he was before the injury. I mean, that would be huge for them. But this is a guy who, towards the end of his career, they're just hoping that, you know, he can come back and be even halfway as good as he used to be. Like, he's definitely one of the guys in the locker room that people look up to, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You'd love to see this guy come back and kind of return to his high motor, his productive status and all that as a linebacker. But the other thing that's hard to come back from is injury when you're getting a little older. And how much of that going into this year is it going to affect him? You know, is he ever going to have the mobility like he used to have or anything like that? So I think that this might be the last time you see Matt Milano, unfortunately, for Bills fans in a Buffalo uniform. I think that teams need to look out what's best for the team. You know what I mean? Like, they just have to. So if the guy cannot play up to the par or anywhere close like he used to, then it might be time for them to kind of move on and maybe draft that next up-and-coming guy for the linebacking spot. So it's almost like this kind of like feel-good story as a Bills fan. You would love to see this guy return back to, you know, how good he was or or and just kind of stay there for a couple more years, but it might be at the point where like he's a shell of himself. He's not going to get back to anywhere close to what he was before, and the Bills might know that and saying, okay, well, this is his last year. We're gonna, you know, see what happens, and we're not.
Let's ride or die, you know. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we're not expecting much, but yep. You know, if it happens, great. If not, then we'll move on.
Yep, definitely. All right, Joe, so that's it. That's it for us here for the players on their final contract to where they might have another deal or they might have another home. We don't know. But, Joe, why don't you tell everybody out here, we're at the end of the video, where they can find our home here. They can find more videos just like us.
Wait, we're at the end of the video? Already? Are you kidding me? Guys, yeah. Thanks for showing up, first of all. Make sure you drop down in the comment section what you guys think. Where do you guys think Jaire Alexander is going to go? Do you think he's going to go to one of your teams? Do you think he's going to go to somewhere else? Let us know in the comment section down below. Also, some of the players that we just talked about, we'd love to get your opinions on them. Where you guys think, are they going to stay? Are they going to go? And maybe even what team that might be. Forget the financials. That's what front offices do. We just want to see these guys play in different uniforms. So, quite honestly, thank you guys for joining us. It's been awesome. It's been a pleasure. Make sure you head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Make sure you share it to all your family and friends. Be part of the Blind Side Nation, you know, because we have so many other shows that you can check out over there as well. Whatever you're into. I'm sure we got a flavor for everything. So we'll see you guys in the next one.
All right. Sounds good.